أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم ومن يؤت الحكمة فقد أوتي خيرا كثيرا صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
In these nights we talked about the athar and impacts of ma'rifat. That if a person has the ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of the Imam of his time, which is the ma'rifat of Allah, there are certain athar that appear. There are certain impacts which will appear in his personality. And the last one in this series that I have in my mind to mention is the athar of ikhlas. That means sincerity towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can never find a person who has the ma'rifat but he is not mukhlis towards Allah. And ikhlas is something which is part of the secret of Allah, because Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman rahmatullahi alayh, one of the ashab of the Holy Prophet, says that sa'altu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi an al-ikhlas. Huzaifa says, I asked the Holy Prophet about ikhlas and sincerity. And فَقَالَ سَأَلْتُ عَنْ جِبْرَئِيلِ Prophet said, I asked from Jibreel. That means he posed the same question to Jibreel. And Jibreel said, سَأَلْتُ عَنِ اللَّهِ I asked it from Allah. And Allah said, سِرٌ من الإخلاص سر من سري. إخلاص is a secret from my secret. أودعه في قلب من أحببته. I give this secret into the heart of the person I love. So we understand that only those who are mahbub and beloved in the eyes of Allah, are the one who will end up having ikhlas. So it takes the love of Allah for a person to be mukhlis, and our urafa say that ikhlas is the ishraq of the noor of mahabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means when the love of Allah penetrates into the heart of a person, then the illumination of this noor of the love is ikhlas. And when we find in ilm al-akhlaq, our scholars say that aql and intellect is divided into two categories, al-aql al-nazari wal-aql al-amali. The theoretical intellect, al-aql al-nazari means theoretical intellect, wal-aql al-amali means the practical intellect. You can very often find people, you sit with them and talk to them, they talk sense. They talk very nice things, reasonable things. So, theoretically speaking, they use their reasoning very well, and they have the theoretical intellect, seems to be like this. But when it comes to the practical practice of the same theoretical intellect, we find lots of people are lagging behind. Lots of people who have the al-aql al-nazari, lots of people who have the theoretical intellect, are lagging behind in the practical intellect. You're not talking about those who don't have the theoretical intellect. You're talking about those who have the theoretical intellect. When it comes to the practicing of the same theory, lots of people are lagging behind. So we find that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and this narration is narrated in Kafi, where Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says that in Kitab al-Aql, how when he's defining the aql and intellect, Imam alayhi salam says, al-aql ma ubida bihi al-Rahman wa tusiba bihi al-Jinan. Aql, that means the intellect, is the one with which Rahman is worshipped. That means we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the aql. If you worship Allah, that's how it is proven that you are aql. Al-aql ma ubida bihi al-Rahman waqtusiba bihi al-jinan, and the gardens, the paradise, is achieved through the aql. So that's what our scholars say, this hadith of Imam Salih alayhi salam, where he's defining the intellect, actually in the tafsir our scholars say Imam alayhi salam is talking about al-aql al-amali, he's not talking about al-aql al-nazari. This is the practical intellect, where the practical intellect is the one that makes a person to perform the ibadat of Rahman, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to achieve the Jannat and Paradise. This is al-aql al-nazari. It is not aql al-nazari, it's aql al-amali, it's a practical intellect. So, when practical intellect comes, we will worship Allah, we will not compromise on worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will achieve the paradise. Now this kind of intellect, when it is there, you find that a person who constantly, consistently performs this practical intellect, he will end up becoming mahbub and beloved of Allah. How do we become beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We become beloved of Allah when you look at let's have tawajjuh, let's pay attention to the ayat of Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. Say, Allah is asking His messenger, say, that means say to the people, that if you people love Allah, follow me. That means we need to practically, amaliyan, We need to practically obey the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. What would happen when we practically obey the sunnat of Rasulullah? What would happen is that yuhibbukumullah. That's the result of practical obedience of the sunnat of the Prophet and the ittiba' of the Prophet, that Allah will end up loving you. So it comes down to our taqwa. It comes down to our practical obedience and following of the Holy Prophet. Right? So when we follow the Holy Prophet, this is how we are proving our al-aql al-amali, the practical intellect. Now practical intellect, when it comes in place, that's how the nur of ikhlas will come out of it. So, and there's no escape. There is no escape for a person to not to become mukhlis. Not just that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expecting us to become mukhlas. There's a difference between mukhlisin and mukhlasin. Isn't it right? Shaitan has already announced his policy. فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. I swear to your honor, Shaitan has said, I swear to your honor. So he's a sworn enemy. Our scholars say, Shaitan is a sworn enemy of ours. So you must take it very seriously. So he said to Allah, I swear to your honor and izzat, la uhwiyannahum ajma'in. I'm going to mislead, deceive all of them. In other words, all the humans will be deceived by Shaitan. Illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlasin. Except those of your servants, among them who are mukhlas. They are the ones who are exempt. So it's a very clear statement from the Holy Quran. So do we really have an escape to avoid it? To avoid the ikhlas? Well, if we avoid becoming mukhlas and mukhlas, then there's no room for us to be saved either. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Ya Ali, lil mukhlisi salasu alamat. We keep on talking about each other. This brother is very mukhlis, such a nice mu'min, very nice brother. They're a very mukhlis person. Let us ask Rasulullah, what is the definition of a mukhlis in his dictionary? Prophet says to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Ya Ali, lil mukhlisi salasu alamat. لِلْمُخْلِسِ سَلَاسُ عَلَامَاتِ. Prophet said, this much is part of the hadith. لِلْمُخْلِسِ سَلَاسُ عَلَامَاتِ. بُغْضُ الْمَالِ, hating the money. بُغْضُ الدُّنْيَا, hating dunya. بُغْضُ الْمَعْصِيَا, hating the sin. This is the person whom Prophet considers to be مُخْلِس. So when we call this brother so mukhlis and sincere, then he has to fulfill these three conditions. We cannot say things which are incorrect. Just to please each other, that would be riya. And we are talking about ikhlas tonight, isn't that right? So we have to abstain from riya and sum'ah. There are two things in ilmul akhlaq. One is called riya, means showing off to others. One is called sum'ah. Sum'ah means... sum'ah means that you don't do something for the sake of Allah, but you say it and make it heard to the people that you did it for the sake of Allah, although you did not. Isn't it right? Some people who didn't do it, something for the sake of Allah, but they say it to others and make it heard to others that they did it for Allah, although they did not do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very hard thing. It's a sirrun min sirri. Prophet has already said in his hadith how Hudhaifah ibn al-Yaman has narrated, sirrun min sirri. Al-ikhlas or sirrun min sirri. It's a secret from my secret. Udi'uhu fi qalbi man ahbabtuhu. So only those who are beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mahbub of Allah, will have ikhlas. No one else will end up having the ikhlas. So Allah treats the person according to how he deserves it. You get what you deserve. This is the law of ilm al-irfan. You get what you deserve. Any ni'mat and blessing of Allah that you did not get is because I was not ahl. I was not mustahak over receiving the blessing. Not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bakhil and miser. Subhanallah. This Allah is above and beyond all those Sifatul Qabiha, condemned attributes, and all the what the people associate as partners. Isn't it right? We say Subhanallah. So Bukhl is a Sifatul Qabiha. It's a condemned attribute. It can never be found in Allah. If I didn't get a ni'mat, it's because I did not deserve it. Not that Allah is not ready to give. No, He is ready to give. He is giving it to those who deserve it. I failed to receive it because I was not ahl of getting it. You get what you deserve. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُنزِلُ الْعَبْدُ حَيْثُ أَنزَلَهُ الْعَبْدُ مِن نَفْسِهِ. You want to know what is your importance and ahamiyat in the eyes of Allah? See what is the ahamiyat and importance of Allah in your eyes. The time of salat comes. I am doing business as usual, isn't it right? I don't care about shutting my business, doing my salat. Isn't it right? Time of khums comes, I don't care. Maybe let's keep on piling up the money. Let's keep Imam Sahib Uzzaman alayhi salam waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. This is the level of importance I give to my Imam. Whatever you do towards your Imam, you are doing it towards Allah. His ma'rifat is equal to the ma'rifat of Allah. Isn't it right? That's what we are discussing in these nights. So what's the level of ahmiyat we give to Allah and His representatives? This shows how much important it is. So ikhlas is a secret. So we don't have any room for a Pakistani center in Islam, or an Indian center, or a Saudi, Hijazi brothers from Hijaz opening a Hijazi center, or a Kuwaiti center, or an Iraqi center, or a Khoja center, or an Iranian center, or an Afghani center. We don't have that sort of things in Islam. Did you find in the time of Rasulullah that Bilal al-Habashi coming from Africa opening up in the city of Medina al-Munawwara a center for African mu'mins, African Muslims? Did you find that in the history? Did you find Suhaib al-Rumi, this white guy coming from Western Europe, and becoming a mu'min, a believer in the time of Rasulullah, and opening up a European masjid in Medina? You find that happening? You find Salman al-Farisi coming from Persia, from Iran, and opening up an Iranian center in Medina? You find Abu Dhar al-Ghafari opening up an Arabian center in Medina? No. Everyone was coming into one Masjidun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Unfortunately, this is what is happening nowadays. Isn't it right? This is a Pakistani center, and this is an Indian center, and this is a Khoja center, this is an Iranian center, and this is a Ghani center, and this is an Iraqi center, and this is whatever. Now, where is the Islamic center? Where is the Islamic center? We are supposed to open an Islamic center which is Baytullah. Kalimatullah is supreme in that center. Not our nationalities and ethnic backgrounds. Prophet came to take us out of the ethnic backgrounds. Where is the ikhlas towards Allah? This is the test. You know? This is what we are talking about. Al-Aqlul Amali. The ishraq of the noor of Al-Aqlul Amali is called ikhlas in the eyes of our scholars. Ikhlas is the ishraq, is the light, is the illumination that comes out of the noor of Al-Aqlul Amali. Practical intellect. Practical intellect. Very less people have the practice. That's why we have our own Islamic definition of intellect. Some people call, this person is a very intellectual person. Well, we have our own ta'riful Islami, our own Islamic definition for intellect. We don't go by the definition of others. We have our own definitions of Islamic terminologies. We have our own Islamic definition of who is called aqil and who is not called aqil. So any person, anybody who performs riya and showing off in the dictionary of Islam, he is not considered to be intellectual. A mukhlis is aqil and a murai is not aqil. A person who performs ikhlas, practically speaking, is the one who is called aqil and intellectual in the Islamic definition of the word. And a person who shows off to the people, He cannot be called mukhlis and he cannot be called aqil and intellectual. So we find Buhlul rahmatullahi alayhi wa salamullahi alayhi, this great companion of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, who pretended to be Majnoon, pretended to be Majnoon for the hikmat, according to the command and amr of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. And now he finds that this tahoot of his time is constructing a masjid. Right? So he goes there at that site where the masjid is constructed. He removes the plaque, he removes the label, the plaque, the sign which was placed by the tahoot ruler, and he puts there Masjid of Buhlul. Now the ruler discovers that Buhlul has done this towards my masjid. This is my masjid. I am the one who is making the masjid. Where is the ikhlas? Right? If you are making masjid for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is alimun bidhat as-sudur. You don't have to even say it. He knows it, what is inside your heart. Right? You don't have to say it. Even if somebody puts his own name, so what? You think Allah doesn't know it any further? Even if somebody puts his name, can we deceive Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is going to give you the reward anyway. If you are doing it for the sake of Allah, you have nothing to worry about. I just mentioned to you the call and statement of my teacher, Ayatullah Jawadi Amuri Hafizahullah. Last night, what he said, Siratul Mustaqeem yak rahib bi tazahumas. Siratul Mustaqeem is a path without an obstacle. Nothing can be an obstacle in your way if you have ikhlas, if you are working for the sake of Allah. Nobody can harm you, nobody can be an obstacle and a mani' in your way not to reach the sa'ada. So you have nothing to worry about, but this is about ikhlas, because people lack al-aqlul amali, the practical intellect, which is found in very less people. So we need to make our masjid, our Husayniya, as a masjid of Allah, a house of God. Husayniya is the house of Ahlul Bayt, alayhi salam. Isn't that right? Where our ethnic backgrounds doesn't matter. They don't matter. You know, I want to read Dua Kumail. Before I come forward to read it, there's another mu'min who comes and reads it. I should not be upset. I should not be upset. Because all I wanted is that Dua Kumail should be read. Fine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives sawab on your niyat. This is the rahmat of Allah. You got the sawab. You had the niyat. Allah gave you the sawab. At the end of the day, somebody else read it. Fine. At the end of the day, it was recited. You should be happy that what you wanted happened. Whether through you or through somebody else. You are not important. I am not important. This is ananiyat. This is man. Well, Imam Khomeini, his famous sentence, he used to say, man shaitanast. This ana is shaitan. Some people work for their ana, their ego. This is shaitan. Shaitan of kulli insani nafsuhu. Sadaqa al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. This is what Imam Sadiq salam said in the hadith. Shaitan of every person is his own nafs, our desires. So this is what blocks it from the ikhlas. So if somebody else reads Dua Kumail, I should be happy. I should be happy because I wanted Dua Kumail to be recited, and it is recited. If not by me, by somebody else. As far as I am concerned, I already got the sawab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't that right? Then why we are sorrowful that I could not read the Dua Kumail? Because I have my ana surviving, still remaining. The ikhlas is missing. This is the reason some people become upset. I could not read it. This is what ikhlas is missing. Isn't it right? Shaykh al-Muhaddiseen, Shaykh Abbas al-Qummi, Sahib Mufatih al-Jinan. He wrote the book Zadul Ma'ad about Akhirat. His father was not an alim. He's a very nice mu'min, but he was not an alim. His father participated in the Rawza Khani, Madlis al-Aza, some other alim was reading. His father went there, and father came back and said to his son, Sheikh Abbas Khumi, that I came from a speech, I attended the speech of an alim, and he was reading such a nice speech He was reading from the book Zadul Ma'ad. I wish, my son, you can also write a book like Zadul Ma'ad. This book is written by his son, Sheikh Abbas Qummi. But he did not say to his dad, "Dad, this is my book." This alim that you went into his Madras al-Azhar and you say he was reading from Zadul Ma'ad, "This is the book that I wrote." Sheikh Abbas Qummi did not say to his father, "This is my book." Why are we expressing our good deeds to the people? There are people who are mentioning, 20 years ago you sponsored your brother to come to the US. Right? In every majlis and gathering, you talk about to your friend, "I sponsored my brother." What are you talking about? How many times you want to mention your good deed in front of people? In Islam, we are supposed to hide our good deeds. You did Hajj, isn't it right? In every gathering, some people, when they sit in the food, they're talking about, "Well, I went for Hajj." Why are you mentioning that in front of the people? Why? Why are you exposing your good deeds to the people? This is against the concept of ikhlas in Islam. We don't expose our good deeds to the people. When we don't expose, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes sure that our good deeds are exposed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we don't do it because Allah is going to expose it. We do it for the sake of Allah. Please say salawat. But this is how some people are. I said it already in the beginning of my speech. Our scholars of akhlaq say there are less people who have al-aql al-nazari, the theoretical intellect. And among those who have the theoretical intellect, al-aql al-nazari, there are very, very few people who have al-aql al-nazari. Al-aql al-amali, sorry. The practical intellect. Very, very few people. And among those who have the practical intellect, they are the only ones who have ikhlas. People who have al-aql al-nazari are not mukhlis until they end up having al-aql al-amali, practical intellect. So this is what we are talking about tonight, ikhlas. La yajidu abdun ta'mal ikhlas hatta la yuhmada ala shay'im min amalillah. A person cannot taste the taste of ikhlas and sincerity until he does not love to be praised about anything, any action of towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that you did for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any of the ibadah, you don't want to be praised. Look at how high we are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to take us, that we don't even want to be praised on any of the actions that we did for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, and that's narrated by Shaykh al-Kulaini in Kafi, لَيْسَ بَيْنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْكُفْرِ إِلَّا قِلَّةُ الْعَقْلِ. Please pay attention to this hadith. لَيْسَ بَيْنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْكُفْرِ إِلَّا قِلَّةُ الْعَقْلِ. There is no difference between iman and kufr, faith and disbelief. There is no difference between iman and kufr, faith and disbelief, except less aql. That means a person who is a kafir, he is lacking the aql. A person who is mu'min, he has the aql. So it's all about aql. Isn't it right? So we find that somebody said to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, وَكَيْفَ ذَلِكَ يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. How is that so, O the son of the messenger? And he says, إِنَّ الْأَبْدَ يَرْفَعُ رَغْبَتَهُ إِلَى مَخْلُوقٍ فَلَوْ أَخْلَصَ نِيَّتَهُ لِلَّهِ آتَاهُ الَّذِي يُرِيدُ فِي أَسْرَعْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. A person raises his raghbat and eagerness towards a creature. We go to somebody, start buttering up, tamalluk, chaplusi, isn't it right? Do things, say things which are unfair to please the people. Man madahaka faqad zabahaka bis-sikkin. Didn't Imam Ali alayhi salam say, whoever praises you has slaughtered you with a knife? In ilm al-akhlaq, it is mazmoom and condemned that you praise somebody on his face, unless if you have a legitimate hikmat behind it. We don't praise the people on their face. We praise them behind their back. This is condemned in Ilmul Akhlaq. So we find that a person increases his rahbat towards a makhluk, a creature. You establish your relations with people. Why? In the niyat, if you in your niyat is that, so I can get some benefit from this person. So you think this person is the one who is going to benefit you? Al-naf and darar, the benefit and harm is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in the hands of the people. We establish relations with people based on iman and taqwa, not for the sake of benefits. That's the difference between a believer who is mutadayyin and a person who is non-mutadayyin and non-religious. In Islam, we establish our relations with people based on iman and taqwa only. Quran has already said, "Al-akhillau yawma'idhin ba'dahum li-ba'din adu illa al-muttaqeen." So all the friends, we learn in the light of the ayat of Quran, all the friends are enemies towards each other. They will discover that on the Day of Judgment. You know, you establish a relation with somebody because you wanted some perks and benefits and rewards and, you know, whatever of related to the temporary material world. So this relationship in the dictionary of Quran, this is not called friendship. This is animosity towards each other. These two people are enemies of each other. Do we think it like that? If we thought it to be animosity, we would never establish a relation which Quran considers to be animosity. Isn't it right? So we have our own Islamic and divine world view of everything. This is what is lacking in the people. That's what we say. First wajib on the neck of your son or daughter when he or she becomes baligh is to teach him or her about Tawheed. Prove all the usuluddin and beliefs with the Dalil. You know, my son, my daughter must know why in the world I believe in Allah and His Sifat. Why? What's the benefit that I learned that Allah is Rahim and Kareem and Rahman and Sakhi and Qayyum and Hayy and Aleem and Qadir? Why? What's the benefit of all that? Do you understand the benefit? Why in the world we believe there are 124,000 prophets? Why in the world we believe in 12 Imams? Does my son, my daughter knows what's the benefit of believing in 12 Imams and their walayat? Yeah? This kafir guy who does not understand the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, and my son who knows the walayat, what's the difference between him and him? What's the difference? Do we understand the difference? If my son understands the difference, he will never compromise over his Islamic identity and shanakht. And then he goes to the university and college. The reason some of our children try to become one of them, try to be like them, because they don't cherish about who they are. They don't understand who they are. They don't understand the benefit of the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. If they understood, they would be feeling proud. So we find that إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ يَرْفَعُ رَغْبَتَهُ إِلَىٰ مَخْلُوقٍ Imam Salih says, a person raises his raghbat and eagerness towards a creature, فَلَوْ أَخْلَصَ نِيَّتَهُ لِلَّهِ If he did ikhlas in his niyat and intention towards Allah, آتَاهُ الَّذِي يُرِيدْ فِي أَسْرَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ Allah would have given him what he wants faster than that. You want what you want, fine. Allah is going to give you faster, with a fast track. So at the end of the day, you displeased Allah, you did not become mukhlis, you pleased a creature, and you didn't get what you wanted either. That's the status of some people. All their amal are up in the air, because they fail to understand the ma'arif of Quran, the high level teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So we find Imam Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam has said in his hadith, please say salawat. And this is one of those ahadiths which I really love. Well, every hadith deserves to be loved equally, but this one is so good. Imam Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam has said that man hawala amran bi ma'siyati Allah kana afwat lima yarju wa asra' lima yahdhar. Sadaqa al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Whoever tries to achieve something through ma'siyat, gunah, through sinning towards Allah, kana afwat lima yarju, he is going to lose what he is hoping to achieve sooner than otherwise. Wa asra lima yahdar, and he is going to fall into whatever harm he is trying to avoid sooner than otherwise. I wish people understood what Imam Hussain has said. They would stop selling their values of Quran and Ahlul Bayt for the sake of dunya. This sister, whenever she used to go on the workplace, she used to take off the hijab. When she comes to the Husainiyah, she puts the hijab on. Oh, so you think that your employer is the one who is providing you the risk and sustenance in your job. Your job is from your employer. Is that what you think? You want to please the makhluk. Isn't that right? So you fail to understand the concept of Ahlul Bayt al-Imsalam, concept of Quran. So innal abda yarfa'u rahbatahu ila makhluqin. A person raises his rahbat and eagerness to his creature. Falau akhlasa niyatahu lillah. If he had made his niyat khalis, mukhlis, sincere for Allah, aatahu alladhi yurid fi asra min dhalik. Allah would have given him faster than that. Please say salawat. So we find that what is missing, brothers and sisters, is al-aqlul amali. What is missing in the communities, generally speaking, is al-aqlul amali, practical intellect. Some people learn about Islam, they attend the majalis al-azaf, scholars, they learn things, they read books, although there are very, very few people, I'm sorry to say, there are very few people in our communities who read the books. Very few, unfortunately. Isn't that right? People don't find time to read the books. This is very, very bad. But we find that so some of the people learn few things about Islam. Some of the people. But among those some, there are very, very few who practically do and have the al-aqlul amali, the practical intellect, because they are the ones who are doing ittiba'ur rasul. They are following the sunnah of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So when they follow the sunnah of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, that's how they become mahbub of Allah. They become mahbub of Allah. Allah will provide ikhlas. And when they have an ikhlas and sincerity, then after a while, if they continue according to the steps of Islam, they will become mukhlas, inshaAllah. And that's how we would succeed on the Day of Judgment, by becoming mukhlas. So we find that our situation in our community is some people are ready to do ijtihad in usuluddin, right? Usuluddin, you are supposed to prove it by our own aql and dalil. Here you are supposed to use your aql, where a lot of people are not using their aql in usuluddin. They are, you know, they are doing taqlid, they are following their ancestors, their father, their mother, their ancestors. Allah asks us to do taqlid in usuluddin? No. Allah asks us to do our own tahqeeq and research in usuluddin. So where we are supposed to use the aql, a lot of people are not using the aql where we were supposed to use in the usuluddin. When it comes to furu'uddin, they are ready to do the taqlid of the mujtahid who is jama'u al-sharait, na'ib of imam, sahib al-zaman alayhi salatu wasalam. So you find here they are trying to use their aql. Here they are trying to use their own, giving their own fatwa and opinion and using their aql in furu'uddin, where it is condemned to use your aql. Isn't that right? And where Allah asks them to use the aql, they're not using it. Ask them, what is the dalil of 124,000 prophets of God? Why in the world do you believe in 124,000? Do you know the dalil? You are supposed to do tahqeeq in Islam. Why do we believe in 12 imams? What's the dalil? Why do we believe in the walayatun takwiniyatun mutlaqa of Amir Mumini alayhi salam? What's the dalil? Al-Allama Al-Hilli rahmatullahi alayhi. This great mujtahid of ours, One of the few rare and nadir personalities in the history who became mujtahid before becoming baligh, before reaching the age of Islamic majority. One mujtahid of ours, Al-Allama Al-Hilli, is writing the book Kitabul Al-Fain. This is the name of his book, Kitabul Al-Fain, the book of 2000. He calls the book the book of 2000. Why? Because in one book he has mentioned 2000 daleel and evidences about the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So are we short of evidences? Are we running out of evidences? One mujtahid is composing 2000 daleel for the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame for a mu'min to not even know one daleel about the walayat of Imam Ali? This is how some people are. Isn't that right? So that was our jahl. This is the biggest enemy of our own, is our own jahl, our own ignorance. Please say salawat. How would we do the ittiba of the Holy Prophet? First things first, isn't it right? We are talking about ikhlas, which is the asr of ma'rifat. How would ikhlas happen? First step is that we do the ittiba of the Prophet. We follow his footsteps. So we learn what the Prophet has taught. We learn the ilm, and then we practice the ilm, amal. Ilm plus amal. We learn, do the ittiba of the Holy Prophet, following of the Prophet. When we do the ittiba of the Holy Prophet correctly, we become mahbub of Allah. When we become mahbub of Allah, Allah provides the noor of ikhlas in the qalb. This is the sequence. This is how the chain. A depends on B and B depends on C. That's how it happens. Our religion is such a beautiful religion, brothers and sisters, that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has asked us, "Utlubul ilma min al-mahdi ila al-lahad." Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. Cradle? Mahd? In the cradle, the baby is not even ready to talk. A newborn baby cannot say one word, cannot speak, cannot read. No book. What are you talking about, Ya Rasulullah? In the mahd, in the cradle, a baby cannot see any book, cannot read from any book, cannot talk any word, cannot learn directly. But our religion is such a beautiful religion that there are uloom, there are knowledges that a baby can learn during the mahd and cradle time. If there was no knowledge that can be learned during the cradle, why in the world the Prophet is saying, "Utlub al-ilma min al-mahd ila al-lahd"? So there are things that a baby can learn during that time. Isn't that right? How when the father is learning, seeking the risk from halal, this is going to provide the knowledge to the baby. When the mother is getting the risk from halal and performing taqwa in her life, isn't it right? This is going to facilitate the asas of ilm and taqwa in the ruhaniyat of the baby. So there are so many things that a baby must learn during the cradle times. This is what is missing in some of the households. They start tarbiyat of awlad when the child becomes even after the bulugh. Isn't it right? Forget about 7 years, which is the deadline. Actually, the biggest important period and phase is 0 to 7. That's the most important phase in the life of your child. 0 to 7. And then comes 7 to 14 is lesser important period. Because most of the things you must teach from 0 to 7. Most of the things. And then, now the asas and foundation is already there. Now it will be easy to teach the rest of the things from 7 to 14. By the time the child becomes baligh, he must already know his fara'id and duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he can do the ittiba'ur rasul. This is what we want to do in our life. So our scholars say that how to do the taqwiyat, how to strengthen our ikhlas towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ma'rifatullah, Ma'rifatun Nas, Ma'rifatun Nafs. These are three recipes that our scholars of Akhlaq have given. You pay attention and understand and recognize that our naf and darar, our harm and benefit is only and only and only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's how you can do the taqwiyat of your ikhlas. Second of all, ma'rifatul nas. That means you understand and recognize that people themselves are muhtaj and fuqara. When the person is faqir, what would he give it to you? He himself is muhtaj towards, ya ayyuhan nasu antum al-fuqara'u ila Allah. Allahu huwa al-ghani. So let's turn to the ghani instead of turning to the people. And ma'rifatul nafs. We understand the value and qeemat of our ruh and soul. We must understand the value and qeemat of our soul. لَيْسَ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ ثَمَنٌ Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, لَيْسَ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ ثَمَنٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ فَلَا تَبِعُوهَا بِغَيْرِهَا. In some of the narrations say, فَلَا تَبِعُوهَا إِلَّا بِهَا. So there is no price for your arwah, for your souls, for yourselves, except Jannat. So don't settle for less. So don't sell your soul for anything less. Anything of this dunya that we want to get at the cost of ignoring our fariḍa, then we are settling for less. We did not value our spirituality and ruhaniyat. We don't have the ma'rifatul nafs. So we recognize what kind of great, you know, ni'mat of Allah is there with us. This is what our scholars say, nafkhatun rabbaniya. Allah blew the soul into our bodies. فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي مِنْ رُوحِي From my soul. This is nafkhatun rabbaniya. This is the divinity. This is the divine aspect in our existence. So if you strengthen the divine aspect, you will become mukhlis and sincere. And when we become mukhlis, then what happens is that our sir and alaniya, our khalwat and our jalwat, our open behavior and hidden behavior becomes the same. This is what Islam wants. أَنْ يَكُونَ الْبَاطِنُ كَالظَّاهِرِ بَلْ أَوْلَى مِنْهُ. There's the batin and hidden reality of a person. Khalawat, our loneliness, when we are away from the community, when we are away from the people, away from my mother, away from my father, away from my brother, I should have taqwa and fear of Allah. Makhafatullah, khawfullah. Isn't it right? Having taqwa in front of the community is very easy. You know, there are 100 people watching you. Isn't it right? Having taqwa, and when we are in loneliness, this is the sign of a muttaqi person, that he is muttaqi. So what happens when we become, when we have the ikhlas, our khalawat and jalawat, our hidden life and our open life are become the same. Islam is asking us, not just there, our beautiful religion is asking us that we may not only our batin, our hidden, our ruhaniyat and spirituality should be similar to what I appear to be, but actually our hidden, our batin should be better than the zahir. Please say salawat. So if we perform some things hiddenly, when a person performs a hidden good deed, isn't it right? The sawab is more in the eyes of Allah. What is hidden good deed? You give sadaqah hiddenly. No human on earth knows that this $1 is given by you. Don't tell your wife. Your wife should not tell you if she is giving sadaqah from her own money. We already discussed that she's not asked by Allah to give sadaqah from husband's money at all. So, hidden sadaqah. We call it sadaqatu sir in ilm al-akhlaq. Sadaqatu sir. No one knows that you are giving the sadaqah. This is how you get the sawab is more. Allah knows it and that's enough. Isn't it right? You're doing for Him. You're not doing for anyone else. He knows it. No need to show off to the people. If you do something hiddenly, the sawab is more. If you do something openly, the sawab is less. And the hadith of the Holy Prophet says, we learn in the light of the hadith, if after doing a good deed, if you mention your good deed, riya,
If you talk about your good deed in front of people, you start show off.
It is cut on the book of deeds. They cut it off. That he did not do it hiddenly. Instead, he did it openly. Although you did it hiddenly, but it is now cut off that he did hiddenly. Now it is written in the Kitab al-Amal that you did it openly.
And the hadith of the Prophet tells us, if a person talks about his good deed one more time,
muhyat wa kutibat riya'an,
it is erased from the book of Amal. That means erased from the book of Amal, book of deeds, that he did it for the sake of Allah. And now it is written that that good deed, he did it for the sake of riya and showing off. If you mention your good deed two times in front of people, it is now riya. Now let us understand, it is no longer found in our book of deeds as a good deed. How much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all these teachings have been told to us. So we find that when a person is doing for the sake of Allah, then what the people say, either they thank you or they don't thank you, it doesn't count. One of our teachers on the Hausa was saying, when you are giving something to somebody, you give hadiyah to a woman, it's a lot of sawab, tahabbu wa tahaddu, the hadith says, love each other and give gift to each other. It's part of the teachings of Islam. When you give some hadiyah to somebody, don't say iltimas dua, iltimas dua. That's how some people do. With the niyat that, you know, all I need is that you just pray for me. In the niyat some people have, that I don't need anything material that you give to me back, something material for this hadiyah. I just need your dua. So you, my teacher was saying that don't say iltimas dua like that, because in your niyat you're trying to make the dua of this moment as the jaza and reward for your gift. Is that right? That's why you were saying to him, I don't need nothing, just do dua for me. So you are again settling for less. The sawab of giving a hadiyah and gift to the mu'min was so high in the eyes of Allah, and now you yourself drop the sawab down to just one dua of a mu'min, which is very less as compared to the big reward of the sawab that Allah would have given you. So don't say iltimas dua with the niyat that you are making, oh, you don't need nothing in lieu of this except dua of this mu'min. You can say iltimas dua some other time, or not with this niyat. How much we ignore, you know, our ulama say, the simplest definition of ikhlas is that, you know, is that you remove the khalq, khalq removal. Just remove the creatures out of your niyat, of your qalb, as if no one is mawjood. There is no mawjood present other than Allah. Khalq removal. Remove the khalq. All the creatures, keep them off. That's the simplest definition of ikhlas. As if there's no one else available other than Allah. How would you do at that time? This is how we do our good deed, you know, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how our Mawla Sayyidu Shuhada alayhi salam did. Ilahi taraktul khalqa turran fi hawaka. Isn't it right? The highest example that Imam Hussein has displayed to us. Nothing can be higher than that. Ilahi taraktul khalqa turran fi hawaka. Oh my Lord, I left the creatures, all of them, for your love. Turran fi hawaka. Wa aytamtul ayala likay araka. And I made the children orphans so that I can see you. وَلَوْ قَطَعْتَنِي فِي الْحُبِّ إِرْبًا, even if you cut me into pieces, مَا حَنَّ الْفُؤَادُ إِلَى سِوَاكَ, the heart will not be inclined towards anyone other than you. This is the climax of ikhlas that Imam Hussain alayhi salam has displayed and taught us. This is a symbol and icon, iconic behavior. Imam Hussain alayhi salam did iconic behavior for Islam. This is the misbah. In the Husayna misbah al-huda wa safinatul najah. This is the misbah. This is how he's providing light and noor for the whole universe. This is noor. إلهي تركت الخلق طرا في هواك. So we find that now we are coming to the ليلة الغرباء, شام غريبان. Isn't it right?
So there was no light. Alhamdulillah, all of you respectable brothers and sisters, you are sitting on a carpet. Isn't it right? Or chair or sofa or whatever. Isn't it right? But the sons of Ali and Fatima alayhi salam are sitting on the sand. They don't have any carpet. The khiyam and the tents have been burnt by the ashqiya. The children of Ali and Fatima, you are sitting under a roof which is protecting you from the weather conditions. But the children of Ali and Fatima alayhi salam are sitting under the sky. There is no roof other than that on their head. Isn't it right? And not just that, but the whole household has been killed. In front of them, their household have been slaughtered. Sayyida Zainab salamullah alayha,
when she comes towards the janaza of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, she said, Ibn Ta'us says, she said, Ya Muhammada, Hada Husaynun murammalun bid-dima. This is Husayn who is in his blood. مُقَطَّعُ الْأَعْضَى. His bodies are cut into pieces. Look at the status of Imam al-Husayn, and look at this huzn and pain of Hazrat Zainab. Now after the shahada of Imam al-Husayn, as if Hazrat Zainab becomes Imam al-Husayn, she's doing the job of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Look at how she's taking care of the whole family. She's such a shuja' and courageous woman. It's a woman who has all members of the family, almost all of them becoming shaheed. Her children dying in front of her eyes. What pain does it go through? We find Hazrat Zainab, her Salatul Layl, her Namaz al-Shab didn't become Qadha even in that night after the Asr of Ashura. And Malaikatullah, the angels of Allah, expressed ta'ajjub on the khilqat of Zainab. What is the azamat of Hazrat Zainab? What a lady with all the pains that you go through, but you still, your ibadat are not decreased even a bit. This is the ikhlas and sincerity of Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha. This is the ikhlas and sincerity of Hazrat Zainab. So we find that she is now, and she's saying to Rasulullah, Ya Muhammada, Hada Husaynum murammalum bid-dima. مُقَطَّعُ الْأَعْضَى. Parts of his body have been cut into pieces. And وَبَنَاتُكَ السَّبَايَا. And your daughters are captives. They are captured as asir, as usara. You know, they became captives. And we find إِلَى اللَّهِ الْمُشْتَكَى. She says that إِلَى اللَّهِ الْمُشْتَكَى وَإِلَى مُحَمَّدٍ الْمُصْطَفَى وَإِلَى عَلِيٍ الْمُرْتَضَى وَإِلَى فَاطِمَةَ الزَّهْرَى وَإِلَى حَمْزَى سَيِّدِ الشُّهَدَى. That the shakwa and shikayat and complaint is towards Allah and towards the Prophet and towards Imam Ali and towards Hazrat Zahra and towards Hamza Sayyid al-Shuhada. Now the wind is blowing over Imam Hussein's body and putting the dirt over the turbat and the khak and the soil over his body. And we find in that situation, she also says, قَتِيلُ أَوْلَادِ الْبَغَايَا. That means Imam Hussein is killed by the hands of the children of prostitutes. You know, those mothers who did zina, قَتِيلُ أَوْلَادِ الْبَغَايَا. This is such a great statement of Hazrat Zainab and a daleel, you know, and she talks about her highness, how she mentions this great statement, قَتِيلُ أَوْلَادِ الْبَغَايَا. Now we find that Hazrat Zainab, after that, after the Asr of Ashura, we find Ashqiya attacked the haram and burned down the khiyam. And the ladies, Hazrat Zainab asked Imam al-Sajjad, shall we die or we go out without the hijab, in other words. And Imam al-Sajjad permitted. So they went out. They didn't have the hijab. Ashqiya were taking away and snatching the hijab with the tip of the spear, taking away. Hazrat Fatima bintul Hussein, the daughter of Imam al-Hussein, says that one shaqi was for chasing me with a spear, in other words.
parents. She was poked by a spear of a shaqi. She fell down. And then this is what the riwayat says, that she fell down and became unconscious. When she woke up, she saw that her head is in the lap of Hazrat Zainab. Hazrat Zainab is holding her head in her lap. And she, the first question that Fatima bint al-Husayn asked Hazrat Zainab, where is my hijab? Because the enemy has taken the hijab away from the ladies of Ahlul Haram. And Hazrat Zainab replies back, Ammatuki misluki. That means your aunt is similar to you. She also doesn't have the hijab. That's also taken away by the enemies. So we find now Hazrat Zainab is gathering all the children, everyone together. But now we find that she couldn't find Sukaina bint al-Husayn. Sakina, she cannot find her. So now she goes towards the maqtal. You know how much Imam al-Husayn loves Sukaina, how much Sakina was beloved in the eyes of Imam al-Husayn. She used to sleep over the chest of her bed. We find Hazrat Zainab goes towards the maqtal to find Sakina, but she couldn't find. And suddenly she sees that this little girl is sleeping over a janaza which does not have any head on it. So obviously this is the janaza of Imam al-Husayn. She goes there and takes Sakina into her lap and she asks her, how did you recognize this is the janaza of your dad? She says, I was saying my dad, and there was a voice coming from this janaza, ilayya ilayya ya bunayya, come towards me my daughter. I understood that this is my Baba Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. She understood that this is her dad. So we find now all the kids are gathered, and finally when the riwayat says the water arrived, water was brought, and now that the water was brought, according to some of the narrations, Hazrat Zainab said that the water will be given to the person who is the youngest. The youngest person will get the water first. So when Sukaina bint al-Husayn, when Sakina was given the water, she takes the water and starts walking towards the maqtal. So I was going towards the maqtal. And when she was asked that where she is going, she said that you have said that the youngest you will get the water. I am taking the water to Ali al-Asghar. Obviously Ali al-Asghar is younger than Hazrat Sukaina bint al-Husayn. We find that Hazrat Zainab has gathered all the Ahlul Haram, all the children. Imam al-Sajjad is taking care of Imam al-Sajjad, who has been beaten by the slashes, because the enemies have taken the bed under him and hit him hard. So we find she's taking care of all of them. And some of the riwayat say that Hazrat Zainab, when she saw there's a person whose face is covered and he's riding an animal and he's coming towards the Ahlul Haram, Hazrat Zainab is there to guard all the members of Ahlul Haram, and he stops the person from coming closer, but he doesn't stop, he continues to come. And now finally she becomes so severe in that. And now when the person gets closer, we find the person removes the niqab from the face. According to the riwayat, it is Amir al-Mu'mineen who came to guard the people, to guard the members of his Ahlul Bayt. And I think, ihtimalan, my mind thinks that maybe Hazrat Zainab had said to her dad, why didn't you come at that time when my Ali Akbar was slaughtered? Why didn't you come at the time when Abul Fadl Abbas, his two hands were cut off? Why didn't you come at the time when Ali ibn al-Asghar was slaughtered? Why didn't you come at the time when Imam Sayyid al-Shuhada was slaughtered? And Hazrat Zainab was standing there at the Tilla Zainabiyya and saying to the Ashqiya, Ama fikum Muslim.
Oh, he's all right.